morning, you all are very welcome to the meeting tonight. We're delighted to see you. Thank you for coming. It's nice to see the hall full. I want to thank you for coming each night as we've been rallying different halls in the city. And you've attended so faithfully, and thank you for that. It's a real encouragement to minister the Word of God and see the saints so keen to listen to the Word of God. And we thank you for coming tonight, because the Lord will bless you for coming. This is our last night in Canada. We're going home on Lord's Day. It's been a great pleasure to be in Canada. Never thought Canada was so nice. Really good. I'll tell a lot of you not want to go to heaven, it's so nice here. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We're glad to see you. Trust the Lord will bless you for coming. I want tonight to talk to you about the saint. I feel that's the greatest subject that one can speak about is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Love that verse, and you'll find it in the closing verses of the book of the Proverbs, chapter 30. It says, who hath gathered the winds in his fists? Who hath bound up the waters as a garment? Who hath established the ends of the earth? And the writer says, what is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. And you know, when I read that verse some time ago, it seemed to just light up for me. I'm sure you've had this experience of burning bushes. That's what you call burning bushes. Moses had one. There were many bushes, but he got a burning bush and he had to stop and look at it. It was a bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And you know, this verse was a burning bush to me. And if you get a burning bush, stop and take your shoes from off your feet, for the ground upon which you're standing is holy ground. And when God burns a bush for you in his word, it means that God wants to speak. And you know what I thought about this verse? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Over in the British Isles there are two great names. And one is Elsie Sands, and the other is Dr. Bernardo. Now Elsie Sands was called a friend of soldiers. She built the Sands homes throughout the world for British soldiers. She was called a friend of soldiers. And Dr. Bernardo, he was called a friend of orphans, because he built orphanages throughout the British Isles for orphans, boys and girls. But there's one title, and God has reserved it, and it's only for his son. Nobody else can use it, and it is the friend of sinners. That's the word. That's what the sin abounds. He's the friend of sinners. And I'm glad. You know, of all the titles and names of the Lord Jesus, and I understand there are 365 titles of Christ in the Bible. Now that's one for every day of the year. But of all the titles of the Lord Jesus, the one that I love the best, and I don't know which one you love, perhaps when you come to the morning meeting, you're rejoicing in your heart and glory as you think of him as a redeemer. And then you might think of him as the mediator. And then you might think of him as the death man. And you can go on and on. But the title that I love, sweetest of the Lord Jesus, is the Savior. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord. There was a woman in Belfast some years ago, and she was at the magistrate's court, and the magistrate said to her, he said, Tilly, I have sent you to prison over 20 times. What am I going to do with you? And she bowed her head in in shame as she stood in the dock. And the magistrate waited and gave her a few minutes to answer. And she was silent, and he said again to her, he said, Tilly, what am I going to do with you? She lifted her head, and she said to him, he said, sir, I think I'll try to save you. He said, Tilly, if you try to save her, you have my blessing. And he dismissed her. She went out onto the street, but God had a man in that courtroom. This is the way God works. There's never any coincidence with God, or there's never anything by chance. This is the way God works. God had a man in that courtroom. And he came out onto the street after her. And he said, Tilly, I heard what you said to the magistrate, that you'll try to save God. He said, do you mean it? She said, sir, I mean it. She said, my life is in ruins. My heart is broken with sin. She said, I am not right. She said, well, Tilly, if you mean what you said, let's get down on our knees. And they got down on their knees in Chichester Street and Belfast, and that morning, Tilly poured out her heart in confession to God. That morning on her knees, she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She lived for over 30 years to prove that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Oh, can I read some verses about it? Let's go to John chapter 3, and then we'll say a little about it. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the only way. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Acts of the Apostles, please. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. God raised up. Now chapter 1, please. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was lifted up, he was raised up, he was taken up. Now Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up. I want you to notice that word. He was carried up into heaven. Now a final verse from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The Lord bless those lovely verses from his word. He was lifted up. He was raised up. He was taken up. He was carried up. He was received up into glory. You see, God will not allow his Son to take sacrifice. And God will always and only give his Son the preeminent place. And wherever you read in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he always has the preeminent place. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has not the preeminent place in the assembly, things are wrong. And if he has not the preeminent place in your home, things are wrong. And if he has not the preeminent place in your life, my life is wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ, God will never allow him to take second place. That's what God thinks about his son. As we trace through the scripture, and you come to the book of Deuteronomy, and you remember it says that the Lord God, he walked in the midst of the camp. Where did he walk? In the midst of the camp. What doing? Protecting his people. And you turn over to the book of Daniel, and you remember the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar came down to see them. And he said to his men, to be not cast in. He said, I see a fourth walking in the midst of the furnace, and he's like unto a son. In the midst of the furnace, what's he doing? He's preserving his people. He had an old preacher over in Ireland, and he said, you know why he was walking up and down in the midst of the furnace? It was to keep himself warm. For the fire couldn't touch him. He was walking in the midst, preserving. We come over to John 19, and we come to Calvary. And it wasn't Pilate arranged Calvary, and it wasn't the centurion or his band of soldiers. No, no, it was God. For it says, there were two other men with him to be crucified. On either side, one, and Jesus, were in the midst. In the midst. God will have no other place for his son, but in the midst. He must always have the family in the midst of the thieves. Then we come to chapter 20 of John, and we read that the disciples were gathered together in the upper room. And the Lord Jesus appeared unto them, and he stood where? In the midst. In the midst of the disciples, revealing. And then we read Matthew 18 and 20, and what do we read? It's on the wall behind the notes. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. In the midst of the assembly. What's he doing? That's why we don't have ordained men. That's why men are not appointed with university degrees and letters after their name to conduct the worship of the meeting. Why? Because no man must receive, but Jesus will. Lord Jesus Christ, he's in the midst of the assembly, presiding. Oh, when I come to the Lord's table on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week, I'm there as a guest. It's not my table, no. The Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he is the host. And he invites us as his guests. He is there to decide. Woe to man. That's why I should never be late at the Lord's. That's why I should come to the gathering of the saints with dignity and reverence. And I should be careful of my appearance at the gathering of the saints. I remember as a boy, before I was saved, sitting at the back of Majesty Hall, maybe between 40 and 50 on sale sitting at the back. Over 200 saints remembering the Lord. I remember them tiptoeing into the Lord's care. 11 o'clock, the door was shut. The elders at the door come up and sat down. Then the meeting commenced. Why? Because of reverence for the one who presided over the gallery. Sometimes we get careless now. Sometimes I don't think. You know, I've got a chair in my bedroom. My wife says to me, she's getting rid of it. And I nearly have to fall out whether to get tea back. I love it. You know I love to be. Before I come out to the Lord's table, I love to sit down for half an hour. Think of it then. Oh dear child of God, don't. Don't miss ever the privilege coming to the Lord's table as a guest. Remember, he presides over the gallery. But then we come right to the book of the Revelation, and John says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I heard a great voice saying, who is worthy to open the book? No man in heaven or earth was able to, or worthy to open the book. He said, I wept much. One said to him, weep not. For behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John says, I looked and I beheld. Oh, let it after your heart. I looked and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the throne, stood a lamb, as it happens. He is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof. And this is what they're crying, for there was slain. And hath redeemed us. God, I love God. Lord, worthy. Where is he? He's in the midst of the throne. What's he doing there? He's revealing. He is appearing before the very face of God for us. In the midst of the throne. Oh, but let me come a moment to tell. And God arranges Calvary. And we read as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up. He's the only way. There's no other way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, then shall you know that I am he. He's the only one. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He's the only power. Do you know what I used to think about lovely to live in the death of the Lord Jesus? And I used to think about the lovely just to walk along the lanes and the byways of the deer and follow the tracks of Christ. You know, if you had lived in the death of the Lord Jesus wouldn't have spoken to you. You say, that's a strange thing to say. No, the Lord Jesus wouldn't have spoken to you, for you're a Gentile. The Lord Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wouldn't have spoken to you. Remember the Greeks came, and they said to Andrew, sirs, we would see Jesus. As Andrew told the Lord Jesus, the Greeks are here to see you. What did the Lord say? The Lord said to Andrew, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What is it not?
said, I'm fire. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Not all men without exception, but not all men without distinction. This is the great truth of the Ephesian epistle. Jews and Gentiles brought in to one body. All men without distinction.
Lord Jesus Christ, he was lifted up from the cross of Calvary, bearing shame and scoffing rude.
In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah!
What a shame.
Oh, dear child of God tonight, when you and I were in our sins in the graveyard of earth, when we were lost and hopeless and helpless, when we were dead in sins and disobedient to God and deserving the wrath even of God, would have been perfectly righteous. The servants of it under his eternal judgment forever and ever for the lake of fire. It's
God who is rich in mercy. God's mercy spreads. God's grace brought salvation to us. Christ, out of love to you and me, he gave himself a Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. And Jesus died for me. Oh, is there one in the meeting tonight and that hasn't dawned upon your heart? Jesus died for me. Do I believe that's the greatest truth that ever you could learn? That Jesus died for me. I was telling the folks somewhere one night in a meeting of the old woman in Donegal, and she said, every night she read that her husband, he wasn't saved. She said, Jesus died for me. 40 years, she was on the road to heaven. They waking her up one night, he says, hey, Jesus died for me. She says, John, but I've been telling you that for 40 years. He says, I see it tonight. Jesus died for me. Isn't that a wonder? Jesus died for me.
Oh, we're so small in the billions of earth. The Son of God died for me. Do let it flood over your heart. Jesus died for me. You often say when we get to heaven, and we'll meet the Lord at the gates of glory. Say, Lord, I taught in the Sunday school. Tried to preach the gospel. Tried to visit the sick. Lord, look at
me. But I know you're not going to say that. You're not. You know what you're going to say? I believe everyone in this meeting is saved. They're going to shout this.
When I reach those pearly gates, and I put in this plea, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus. This is my boat, and this my soul, Jesus.
Oh, the devil's troubling you, friend.
And you find temptation in your life, and it's so hard to get over. And the devil disturbs you about your assurance of salvation. You know what to tell him? Just tell him, and he hits this. Tell him, Jesus.
And you know, I often say, when the devil accuses me before God, and you know he accuses me every day, but the devil's the accuser of a brother. Oh my, that's a sister too.
And every day, he's accusing you before God. You know when he accuses Harry Andrews before God? You know the feel the Lord must say to him.
He must say, listen here, Satan, you're never going to learn. I'm not saving Harry Andrews for what? Saving him for what my son has done. The old hymn I love to sing reach my blessed Savior first.
Keep him from God's esteem. Prove Jesus Thank God that spotless righteousness of Christ, God has clothed me with it. And the apostle says that we are found in him. Not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ.
And you're glad you've got the rope. The Bible calls it the best rope, the best rope. If there's one here tonight and you haven't got it, take off the old coat and put on the new.
Christ has the garment ready for you. A robe of salvation, purchased with blood. Take off the old coat.
You don't want to tell you, you would never get a garment like this in the town. And I've never seen shops like this in my life. I don't know what it's like here, but at home when the women folk go out for clothes, and they come home after they've been out all day, and you ask very timidly, did you get fixed up? They say, no, there's nothing. The shop's full. Nothing. I don't know whether that's the same account. And I want to tell you, you have no selection with this one.
There's only one garment, and it's the garment of salvation that was purchased by the blood.
God gives it to every son. You know, when the prodigal son come home, what did the father say? Did he say, give him the best robe? No, he didn't say that. But that father wouldn't know what they'd done with.
And if you come to God tonight to put the robe on, you couldn't put it on. The father said to the servants, he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. So when a sinner comes to Christ, God takes that righteousness which is his son's, and he clothes the guilty sinner with it. And you know what happens? God sees them as his son. And we are accepted in the beloved one.
Don't pretend to patch your flesh up for God's condemnation. He's very bad.
Get your eye on Christ, for he is your life. And it says it's him with Christ in God. God holds
because of the value of the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was lifted up, and then we read in the Acts of the Apostles, it says, he was raised up. You see, when David came into the valley of Elah, and he heard Goliath defying the army of Israel, the assembled God, and Goliath shouted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now you know 40 in the Bible is the number of testing. And for 40 days and 40 nights he shouted, send the man, send the man.
There wasn't a man in Israel to go. Saul, that mighty man who was head and shoulders above every man.
He wasn't one of
them. Jonathan, a mighty soldier, a prince in Israel.
He wasn't able to face Goliath. Here, the great picture of the Lord Jesus, he comes from the hill country. He comes down in the intimate valley. He meets Goliath. He slays Goliath. You know, for 40 centuries, from that day of the promise in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, Satan defied the very God of heaven, and Satan demanded, send the man.
Send the man! And when Cain was born, he thought, here's the man whom God sent me. And you know what she called him? She called him Cain, which means, I've got me a man from the Lord of Sin.
And it wasn't Cain. But Satan thought of Abel. Satan had Abel murdered. Wasn't Abel? The line started with Seth.
And there's times when that line was so slender, when that line was held, arms of a little boy. And she nearly had waked her up. But God bless her.
Good face of young man. Has a great study in the world. A line of friends.
Can we come right up to the end of the forest?
Said when the fullness of the time had come, God sent Moses down from the glory of the Savior came.
Down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, I dare exclaim, Jesus, thank you. As you know, when David, when he slung a stone and he spoke Goliath in the forest and Goliath fell down, David went up and he stood on him. What did he do? He took the last greatest weapon, which was that mighty sword. You remember David took it in, he brought it into the house of the Lord. And he took that sword, and he sealed the victory. He cut off the head of Goliath.
The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, when he bare our sins in his own body on the field, why did he come?
He came not only to bear our sins as a sin bearer, but he came that he might destroy him that had the power of death. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he took Satan's greatest weapon, which was death.
See, there was nothing in Christ that death could work upon. Can I think? During the summer tent meetings in Botanic Gardens in Belfast, we're preaching one night. A Roman Catholic girl was out for a walk. It was raining, and she stood below a tree outside the tent. And I was quoting that verse, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he was speaking concerning his life. He says, no man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received at my father. That girl stood to listen, and after the meeting she came into the tent. She said, I always thought that Christ was murdered. I told you he wasn't murdered. And I said to her, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die as a martyr. A martyr dies for a cause.
But the Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly gave his life and died for our sins.
That girl was joyfully scared that day. The Lord Jesus Christ, he took that strongest weapon of Satan, which was death, and from the cross he went down into death.
He went into the strong man's house and he spoiled his goods. And he found a strong man.
And before you can spoil a strong man's good, you have to bind him. The Lord Jesus Christ, praise his blessed name, he bound Satan. And the third day, he broke asunder the gates of Hades.
And up from the grave he rose. With a mighty triumph for his foes, he rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived forever. Says the rim, hallelujah,
Christ my God.
If you ever read Ada Harbison's book on New Testament fields, she explains the meaning of the word Golgotha. She said it comes from two words, and it means God Goliath, the skull of Goliath. She said when David brought the head of Goliath back to Saul, they could not bury it inside the city gate, for he was a Philistine. But they took it outside the gate, and they buried it at the place called the place of the skull. And she said, over the years, the name has changed from Golgotha to Golgotha. But although there may be evidence there, over a victory gained over Goliath in the valley of Elah, praise God, there's evidence in heaven tonight of a victory gained over Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ, he broke the bonds of death, and not
stone was rolled away. I've said what it's like here on an island to sit and argue all night over why the stone was rolled away. That's good, you know. There's a whole lot of reasons I can give you tonight why the stone was rolled away. But I'm going to tell you what I think, because I think I'm right. And if you agree with me, I'll shake your hand tonight, but if you don't, I'll still shake. I don't believe the stone was rolled away to let them look in. That's very obvious. They couldn't look in if it wasn't rolled away. I believe the stone was rolled away to let the Savior in. He could have come out had there been a thousand seals at the tomb. The stone was rolled away. If a man goes into the prison house to meet the demands of the law for clear of sentence, the last day of the sentence, the governor of the jail comes and says to him, the law is satisfied, the sentence has been paid, you're free. Does he climb over the wall? Does he get out through a window? No, no. What does he do? He waits till the door is open and he walks out. Having satisfied the law, he walks out. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in his name when he settled forever sin for men. Glory be to Jesus. Let it be his name. No partway matter. God is grace provide. Finish the work all. When the Savior died, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he satisfied the demands of God, when he bound the strong man Satan and spoiled his power, God rolled away the stone and up from the grave. Did that fill your heart? Here God comes in to watch you. The world is going to watch this for them. The world is finished with Christ. The last sight the world got of Christ was crowned with thorns on Calvary Street. That's the last glimpse of God. From he entered the tomb, and never saw again. There never was an unbelieving eye that ever looked on Christ. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, he says he was seen of above 500 grand at once. He was seen of the 12, he was seen of me. 40 days he appeared unto his disciples, and he came out to the Mount of Olives, that mountain that's waiting for the footstep of Christ. What to do? Let it open. There's a fault in the Mount of Olives, you know. You can't build on it. To see the rock on the Mount of Olives is split, and they can't build on it. And to say the mountain will crumble, you know it's going to open. Footstep of Christ touches it. What's it do? Allow the remnant of Jerusalem to flee into it during the old tears of judgment and tribulation. What is this going to be? The Lord Jesus comes to that mountain after 40 days. He appeared unto his disciples. Says he was taken up. That's his departure from earth. But then we come to Luke's gospel, what does it say? It says he was carried up. Did these men just put these words in because of life? No, no. This is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He was carried up. I understand this is the same word as you have in chapter 16. It says about Lazarus when he died. It says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in front of him. But it says Lazarus died. And he was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. Now the thought in Luke 24 is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had gained and won the mighty victory of Calvary, when a man wins those races on earth, when they put the laurel wreath around him, Does he just walk off the track?
No. There's admirers come, and they carry him off shoulder high and back again. Do I believe that God sent those clouds of angels, and they came to the Mount of Olives, and they carried the Saviour from earth in victory? Says he was carried up. And then we come to Mark 16, and what does it say? Says he was received up.
Received up into glory. I know Psalm 24 is a millennial psalm, but I believe that Psalm 24 is what happened as well when the Lord Jesus Christ meets the gates of glory. What does it say? It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting glory, and let the King of glory in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord mighty and God. He is. What does it mean, lift up your heads, O ye gates? You see the gates in the east. They were made with three leaves. There were the two leaves that opened in and out. And there was what you call the head of the gate. When the head of the gate was never opened, they opened the lower leaves. The only time the head of the gate was lifted up was when some special dignitary came to the city. They lifted up the head of the gate and they gave him an abundant welcome. Oh God, speak the shout of the Lord heaven, lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift the King of glory in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Oh, watch it. As his father received him. Where's his father? He says, sit thou at my right hand. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. You know, when the Kaiser of Germany was getting his picture painted, the artist thought he would put a little human touch into the picture, and he painted the Kaiser sitting on the throne of Germany. And his eldest boy, the heir to the throne, he was standing beside it, and the artist painted his foot on the first step of the throne. On the day of the unveiling cave, and the Kaiser unveiled it, he looked with anger at the picture. You know what he said? He said, get this foot off the throne. Alive. God never said that to his son. No. God said, thou art my son. Sit thou at my right hand. And I gave my enemies the footstool of thy feet. And all he who became lower than all, what condescension my soul doth enthrall, Jesus my Saviour made lower than all. Oh, shout tonight with fire. Higher than all! Higher than all! God has exalted him higher than all! Thrones and dominions before him must fall, for God has exalted him. That wasn't Calvary enough. He went to Calvary to prepare us for the place. And he left the Mount of Olives to go to the Father's house to prepare a place for us. He used to be a wee man in Manchester, wee Willie Martin. And you know, he used to disturb the ground. See, the boys disturbed the ground in here. But he disturbed the ground. But who came down? He was all nice people. And he used to pray, and he could say the same prayer on Sunday morning, and on Tuesday night at the Bible reading, Thursday night at the prayer meeting, and the same prayer done him all the time. And we used to pray to the wee fellow sitting in the hall, he used to say, he used to use the Lord's name about 70 times in his prayer. And we used to think this was funny, it wasn't safe. But there's something Willie Martin said, and you know, it's burned into my heart. I've never heard that. You know what he said? But there's something Willie Martin said, and you know, it burned into my heart. I never forgot. You know what he said? He says, Lord,
He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, Lord, you made a powerful good job. And he said, Lord, you said you've gone to prepare a place for us. He said, Lord, you're away nearly 2,000 years. Someday he's going to come to take you. You're going to leave Canada, and we're going to leave Ulster, and we're going to leave the island of the sea. We're going to rise to meet him. And he's going to take us through the gates of glory, and he's going to shout of a lead as he brings the church into the Father's house. He's going to shout, Father, of those that thou hast given me, I've lost none of them. They're all safe and good. Thank you, glad you're love you at the home before the Lord comes. He used to serve a place, dear old man. He just lived by himself in a little pensioner's cottage. He just a little kitchen and a bed. He's a lovely saint of God. He should be a big picture on the wall of the old river cross, and one the sun was rising and the other the sun was setting behind the cross. And these words were written on it to that old rugged cross and a letter to me. He used to say, you know, Mr. Anderson, you'll never need the deck of this house, but you can't see the walls of that deck. But that was his life, he loved the water. And it's a Saturday morning, had him a serving of bread, and I seen him down the road with his Bible, and he got his days all mixed up, he thought it was the Lord's day, and he was going to the man of the Lord. And he used to stop him on the road and say, listen, Mr. Anderson, this is a long day, it's a long day. He said, wait a minute, he said, tomorrow morning, get into the hall there and I'll keep you up and I'll get up. But he loved the Lord Jesus. And then on his closing days, he just lay in the bed in the wee room. And he used to go in there and talk to him for a wee minute, sometimes would pray with him. One Saturday morning, and then says, Harry, did you read me John 14? And he was starting to quote it to him. He says, no, Harry, listen, Harry, he says, don't quote it in case you leave any of it out. Leave. I opened his Bible and I just read it then. You know, the very beam of heaven on his face. There's a whole verse. Put my hand on his head today. John, I'll leave you a wee loaf of bread. He says, no, Harry, don't leave anything today. He says, for forgetting a wee bite of good stuff in the market. John was going to heaven. Isn't it great to have this book? Isn't it grand to have this book? Because it was a man lifted up at Calvary. Because it was a man raised up from the new tomb. Because there was a man taken up from the Mount of Olives. Because there was a man carried into the presence of God. Because there was a man received at the right hand of God. It's because he lives that we shall live also. May the Lord bless his word for us. Grant that that worthy man may become a constant companion with you. That you may never neglect the talk of what he is worthy. And the Lord just as well, shall we? O God, our Father, we thank you again tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that the knowledge of Christ is unfathomable. Father, we'll never know it. We know that his riches are unsearchable. And O God, we thank you for the little nuggets that thou hast fed us with along the way. Lord, there's so much more we need to know, so much more we need to learn about him. And grant our God, we might, like Paul, the great desire of our heart might be that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. O God, we thank you for him. Pray thy blessing now upon every family represented here tonight. Pray for every mother in the meeting that thou wouldst help them in these kind days of rearing children, that thou wouldst bless them, Father. We pray for fathers in the meeting, Lord, that thou wouldst help them to direct their homes according according to thy will. Give them courage, Father, to stand in these evil days to do what's right. We need thy grace, Father, every day. We thank thee for preserving grace thus far. And we look to thee, Lord, to that day when thou dost take us home when the Lord shall come, that thou wouldst keep us close to thee. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus.